Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by Patreon listeners like you. If you would like to join their ranks, go to patreon.com/rethebard. That's patreon.com/RIPHEBARD. And follow Sherry on all the various social networks at rethebard. That's RIPHEBARD. And now, from the studios in San Diego, California, here's Sherry.
Thank you, Everett. I wanted to thank all of our listeners over New Year's Eve. We had a huge turnout for Sherry's Playhouse's performance of Hamlet. Thank you, everybody who tuned in and listened to the play. I was a little shocked that people were listening to a classic on New Year's Eve, so thank you. Today we are introducing our guest. He's an author named Bruno Ribeiro. He has a book called The Book of All Lovers, the story of, I'm going to mess up these names, Dicifer, and I'm going to let you say it. Bruno, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Such a pleasure.
Thank you for coming on. Could you say the names of the lovers, because I can't pronounce them?
So the girl's name is Evalice, and the guy's name is Diosphere.
Okay. And is this Greek?
No, actually, no. It is some names that I came up. Diosphere means in English means persimmon, but in my native Portuguese language we call it that fruit. We call it diosphere. So I thought it was a very interesting name to give to a hero.
Interesting. And what's the other name mean?
Evalice. Well, it's a. Okay, I'm going to say this, but I had my best friend, his first name was Evie, was French, and I wanted to somehow use his name in one of my characters, so I started playing with the name, and it developed into that. The guy's name was easier, a hero with some sort of sweetness as the fruit.
So really there's no meaning to the girl's name. Poor girl, she has no meaning.
No, it has Evalice, it has my best friend's name incorporated in it. And the rest was just pure the sound. I like the sound. I'm very attracted to sounds and besides colors and words. So it's his name. It's a sad story. He was my best friend, and he died on a car crash at the age of 21. I use this name as to remind me of that. It actually has more meaning than our hero itself, Diosphere. Which is just the name of a fruit, persimmon.
That's sweet. Why don't you tell a little bit about yourself and your background to our audience?
I was born in Lisbon, Portugal, and I studied fine arts. So I did some shows, but I needed a break from fine arts. I got fed up with it. There was a time I got into a huge depression and I couldn't paint anymore. So I always wrote, and that was another of my passions. And around 2005, I moved to the U.S. in order just to work on writing. So that's what I have been doing for the last 13 years or so. It's mostly it. I've wrote a few books before this one that I burned, or somehow destroyed because they were terrible. But this one, this one, I thought that I wanted to go further with it, so I published it.
Good for you. It's always hard to put your stuff out there, whether it's art or writing or music or anything creative, because there's a piece of you as part of it. And when you finally let go of this work, was it relief, excitement, joy? How did you feel when you released it?
It is a curious question. A friend of mine the other day was asking me that somehow he had in his mind, or he read, or that and he asked me the same question. He said, is it that writing a book or publishing a book the same as people say, that's what he said. People say that writing a book is or publishing a book is almost as having a child. Is that what how you feel like? And I don't have kids, but I have to say that somehow is some part of you that it's a creation of yours, a different type of creation. But there's some sort of relief, yes. Curiously, this for me is all new because I'm not used to speak to an audience as a fine artist. It's a different world. You are at the center of the story, but in a room, and the paintings should speak for themselves. In this world, it's mostly like I think people expect you to explain your creation. It is a relief somehow, but on the same level, it is also a new burden and a new thing coming, hard thing. The hard part is now starting, to at least in my experience. And I guess that at the end, yeah, it's a relief, but it's also a big responsibility, and hopefully you accomplish.
Well, it's interesting because, at least in my experience, I've written a few books, and one of the things I noticed is, as painful and the hard a process sometimes this writing can be, and it's very lonely and it's very hard and you get very frustrated and you're by yourself, and even after you show it to people and compare it and everything, it's all your decision and your choice. But once it's out there and you have to do the publicity, to me that's the hardest part. I can interview people till the cows come home, but talking about myself is really difficult. Do you find this part a hard process?
Yes, I totally agree with you. It is terrible. I'm a shy person. I don't really like to talk in public, and I'm still, this is new for me, and I'm still developing my style or whatever I have to do. But it is very hard, and I think. But as I said before, this is a first for me. But right now, I have. And in arts, I always had, in arts in general, I always had this idea and this approach where I think that art should talk for itself, whether it's a book or a piece of music or something else, but anything else. But unfortunately, I guess that's not how it works in the publishing world. People expect more answers, but I think that the creation is out there, and what I think about it is that it's no longer yours. It's for others to appreciate or to come up with their own conclusions. So it's extremely hard this this process, and I never had it in mind when I decided to publish the book. I thought that would be as easy as the art world, where you just don't have to. At least I didn't. I didn't explain much about my paintings. I just hung them there, and of course, if someone approached me at the inauguration day and asked me questions, I would be more than happy to answer them. But you don't have I didn't have an explanation behind them per se. I'm an intuitive creator.
That's interesting, because it made me think of something. Have you been to a book fair or a show or a convention yet to promote your book?
No, not yet. I didn't have the privilege yet to be invited to any of those. The book is only out for a couple of weeks.
It's a strange thing. I mean, I've been to a lot. I love art, so I've been to a lot of art shows. I've been to museums and stuff. When you go to an art show, you don't really feel the need to cross-examine the artist. But when you go to a book fair, I've never done this. I just look at the books and see whether I want it. But other people, because it's so competitive and there's so many books out there, they will cross-examine you. It's like, well, I had a book out called Fantasy Time Inc. was a time travel book. And he says, well, this is a very similar to this story and this story and this story. And I go, well, most time travel stories go all the way back to H.G. Wells. There's everybody, there's basics in time travel. And I go, yeah, there's similarities in every story. And I mean, this guy was relentless about it. Finally said, I shrugged and I said, okay, you know, good. And it was impossible to argue. And you didn't want to argue because you wanted to sell your book. But it's just like, it's different. It's not like an art show. Like almost, it's almost like a trade convention. Like somebody's going to find out about a job and they're interviewing you, except. But you're the one who's being interviewed.
Well, we are 7 billion people on this planet, so I think it's very hard to come up with new ideas, since with all social media, with access to information the way we have, and with all the everyone has a word to say nowadays. Everyone can have a voice, so to speak. So I guess that it's very hard to come up with new ideas. But unfortunately, I think people should focus on their own things instead of, attacking you on some other level. But, you know, it's
they haven't even read the book, so they don't even know. So that's what the
exactly.
Fun is.
Yes. I always found that very interesting, mostly in my art shows, as I said, because this is a new thing for me. But it was very curious when people approached me. I always quote this person once who came to me and said, "Well, it's obvious that you were very inspired on this collection of paintings by the work of Lewis Carroll and all of that." And it's unbelievable how others want to put words in your creations and try to come up with things that they weren't there, or somehow they didn't have the time to discover it yet. But it's what it is.
I know, it's really funny. And then there's I was an actress when I was younger, and I still act. I still put my fingers in. But I remember when I told people that I was an actress, they would say, look at me and say, oh, yeah, I can see that you're a really good actress. I'm like, how can you see I'm a really good actress if you've never seen me act? people have these ideas in their heads that they like they put on you, even though you're not even asking them to do it. It's a strange phenomenon.
It is.
Your Lewis Carroll story reminded me of that. I have that a few times. People saying that to me, men and women. Oh, yeah, I can see that. It's the way you express yourself. You must be a great actress. I'm like, this is me. I'm not acting. This is myself. There's a difference. People are just weird. I guess they do the same with artwork. Oh, yeah. I mean, artwork is an impression and it's personal. But to put it on the artist, to put your personal stuff on the artist, it's just as unfair as telling an author that their work is like someone else's. It's just strange people do.
I agree. One thing is the way you get the interpretation of the work. The other thing is to come up a priori, as we say in Latin, some ideas of how the work was conceived. That part
exactly.
Isn't fair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I love Impressionist work. That's my favorite era, Monet, Renoir, that kind of thing. The early Van Gogh and the late Van Gogh. But I think that I like all art. I mean, when I go look at pieces, I just look at it for the beauty. I don't really put a deep question to what makes that. What was the artist thinking when he did that? I'm like, no, I don't care.
Right. Some artists, I've had colleagues in art school and later on in the art world, and I still do, who create their pieces based on their ideas, and they have an idea up front, or they know, or they are structured upon some rules. That's not my case. I like to explore more. I'm an intuitive type of creator, so to me it's more about I try to discover. I use the colors and that process of that fight between the person and the canvas using his own weapons such as brushes and paint or whatever you have at hand, because I've used other materials. I've painted with wood sticks, with whatever I can, that depending on the effect I want to get. But it's that makes to me painting very attractive in my. But I've had colleagues who totally disagree with the way I created, the way I do it. And that's their opinion. I have a very good friend, and we have these big conversations, long conversations, where we debate that deeply. And he's more of a intellectual type of painter, and I'm more of a intuitive type of painter. So they both can coexist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I agree with that completely. I think you can do both sometimes. The creativity comes by the seat of the pants. The intellect comes from the inspiration. You know, can go any way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Your book is illustrated. Did you do your own illustrations?
I did. I did the illustrations. They are. I used the one illustration is acrylic and oil. The others are what's the name of watercolor on paper.
Watercolor is lighter, though. Is that why for those paintings, for that portion of the book, That you wanted a lighter feel?
Not really. It was something that happened. I went through a huge depression during the last year, and in the middle of the year, I said to myself, and this book I was working on it for the last 4 years, but somehow I didn't seem to come to an end. So last year, I said to myself, I have to finish this before the end of the year. And I got really inspired. It was such a pleasure. I didn't rush it. You know, you cannot rush art. But once I finished the book, I looked at it and I said, I need to illustrate this book. And I haven't been painting in a long time. So it was easier. I had my watercolors and I start playing with them. But I wanted to finish it in a way, but the publishing was a different thing. I had the watercolor, so it was nothing that I thought in advance. It was the process of it. I didn't want to go back to the oil, and I didn't know the approach of that. So didn't want to have that approach on the book. So I said to myself, I'm going to go with the watercolors and play with them and see what's going to happen. And the funny part is that when I decided to publish the book, and it came to a point where at the end it was so expensive that, but it was already there. It was all edited, and we were in the last stage of the process. And it was so expensive So I had to come up with a black and white version too. So we have both versions available, because the color version for the people who are not in the publishing business, it's really outrageous the prices. And my color book is really it came at the very and I cut most of my profit on that, because but it's all for the art. I did it for the art.
Fascinating. That's really cool. Yeah. I just wanted to ask you, you have a little time left. I wanted you to tell the audience, the reader, like you're talking directly to the reader, what they will like and what would draw them to your book?
Well, I like to say first that I'm an intuitive writer, as I said, and having lived in this country and having had to learn English, I felt in love with the language. And as I fell in love with it, I simply started to feel and started to see my characters as a painter and hearing them speaking to me. And they spoke to me in some language that sounded like English. They spoke in some type of universal language, and it was English. It was not my native Portuguese. So I made an effort, and I decided to follow through. So this is just to explain that it was a hard process to me. Now I think that we are in high demand for heroes nowadays, and this guy, the Biosphere, he dreams about the girl, and he doesn't know if she's real or not. So she has to go on a quest to find out if she's real or not. And the thing is that along the way, he understands that she's trapped in a place called the sphere of utmost dreams, which is the place where all dreams and nightmares go when we dream them. So it's a quest. It's a man on a quest. But ultimately, to find love, and to find his love, but mostly and above all, a man on a quest to find himself. It's also a book of adventure and chivalry, I guess that's it. Where I wanted to write it as simple as I can. It's the first of a trilogy. I'm going to start writing the next one very very shortly, and it's a love story. It's a fairy tale also.
Awesome. That sounds beautiful. Where would people go to buy your book? Do you have a website? Where would you direct them?
Well, the book is available on Amazon, on every site of Amazon, Europe, UK, US. I also have a website where all the info is there. It's thebookofalllovers.com. And that all the info is there, drawing some more info about myself, my background. I'm also on social media now. I wasn't before. I was nobody knew me, but now I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. The handle is Bruno the Poet. So yeah, it's mostly it. If anyone interested, can go on thebookofalllovers.com. All info is there where to buy and such.
Great. And do you have any events coming up where you can meet your prospective readers?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have any events coming up where you can meet your prospective readers?
I think I do. I don't know them, but I think I do. I have to ask my publicist. But I think I do I did an interview, but all those things are in the website, the upcoming events. They're very, I'm just starting, so it's very hard. It's if anyone is interested in doing this or in the process of doing this, get ready. It takes a lifetime. but all the info is on my website. Thebookofalllovers.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by listeners like you. You can support this program by leaving a rating or a review at iTunes, at Sherry's Patreon account, patreon.com/readthebard, or by following Sherry on all the various social media at readthebard. That's R-I-T-H-E-B-A-R-D. Once again, that's readthebard. R-I-T-H-E-B-A-R-D. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.